Church this morning. We're truly grateful that you are worshiping with us today. All visitors are especially welcome, and if you are searching for a church home, please speak to our pastor or to one of our elders. There are attendance books at the end of each pew if you'll sign them and pass them down to the next person. And we have a lot of birthdays this week, but only one is with us today. Gloria Herta, Gwen Morris, David Johnson, DJ Lancaster, and Jessica Dixon. And Gwen?
And David.
Oh, David, I'm sorry. You came in and I didn't see you. Sorry. We have two. Okay, Gwen and David. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Also, Jim, happy anniversary this week, remember?
Thank you.
Mary will be back this week, so just in case. Just in case. We thought we'd save the men this year. Today is the last day to sign up for Easter lilies. There is a sign-up sheet in the Narthex. They will be $10, but part of that proceeds will be going to the Smithville Food Pantry. On Thursday of this week, we will have our Maundy Thursday event. There's going to be a sandwich supper at 6 o'clock and a video presentation and discussion on 24 hours that changed our world. So that's this Thursday at 6. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter, and the Sunday after that will be our first Sunday, so that will be May 1st. Our covered dish luncheon on that day will be at Virginia Ilsing's house, which is 607 Ramona Street. The church will provide the meat, so you need to bring a vegetable, a salad, or a dessert. If you have a favorite chair, you can bring one. If not, there will be plenty there. We want to congratulate the high school band. Once again, they received all ones at concert and sight reading. This is the fourth year in a row that the band has won sweepstakes. So the seniors this year have known nothing but sweepstakes bands. Congratulations. Next Sunday, we will have our Easter egg hunt. It meet at Anna's house, which is 505 Hickory Street, at about 9:45. If you're leaving eggs, if you can have them at the church before by Friday, or if not, by Sunday around 9:30. Now, if it rains, and we only hope it gets totally rained out, but if it does rain, we will have the Easter egg hunt downstairs. So next Sunday, Sunday school people meet at Anna's house. If you need directions, Anna or Sammy can tell you. You're in 2 minute permission. Okay.
You will see in your bulletin this week our little hint of what Minute for Missions. The offering that we take up on Easter is the One Great Hour Sharing. And this tells you a little bit about what it does. It's one of the few offerings that we take up that are actually across the PCUSA. And so I encourage you to pay attention to this and to pray about how you would like to help support this.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship, which you will find printed in your bulletin. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might.
He has become my salvation.
Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Let us pray. We thank you, eternal God, that you have answered us and have become our salvation through the human pilgrimage of Jesus Christ, doing good, healing the sick, suffering unjustly, dying heroically, and rising victoriously. Vicariously and in reality, help us to join you in your suffering in conflict with evil, that we may worship you here and hereafter. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 287 in the green hymnal, Lift High the Cross, and we will sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. infant. You lived among us as a teacher. You died to save us from ourselves. We wanted pride. You showed us humility. We wanted power. You showed us love. Help us to become as loving and humble as little children, so that we may see your kingdom and enter it with joyful hosannas. Amen.
Wisdom that we may sustain the weary with our words. As we speak, help us also to listen. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 1 through 16. I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You have ordained praise'?" King James is where we get the quote, "Out of the mouths of babes, you have ordained praise." And we want to thank Andrew James for helping me on that one. For those of you who are visiting this morning, a brief explanation. During Lent, we have been spending our time together on Sunday mornings looking at different perspectives of the cross, of imagining what it would have been like to be there from people that we know were actually there. And today, in honor in part of Andrew James' baptism. The person that we're going to hear the story from is a 10-year-old girl named Miriam. And I invite you to continue to listen. Miriam skipped happily along the dusty road, calling to her friends as their families walked those final miles into the great city of Jerusalem. All her life, she had heard her parents and the other grown-ups talking about the temple, about what a wonderful, glorious place it was. She couldn't wait to see it. It was the first time the whole family had made the trip from their home in Capernaum. The first time they would celebrate Passover with thousands of others instead of just the folks back home. It would also be the first time her little brother Jesse would get to ask the ancient Passover questions. And he was having a problem with that very first question. Why is this night different from all other nights? He was worried he would forget, and Miriam had practiced with him all the way to Jerusalem. She loved the Seder meal. Papa said it was very important for boys and girls to be told the story of their ancestors' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Papa said they must never forget what the Holy One of Israel had done for his people. Papa said that one day again they would be free from foreign rule, that a Savior called Messiah would come to deliver them. As they came over a low hill, Papa paused and pointed. Miriam stopped, still in her tracks, and her mouth came open. Never had she seen such a sight. Jerusalem seemed to go on forever, and there, in the middle of it, on a hill that stood above all the other buildings, was the temple. It gleamed in the sunlight, and as Miriam watched, she could see people from all around streaming into the gates of the city. It was even more exciting than she had imagined it could be. If we hurry, we'll get to the city by sundown, her father said. After all the waiting, she was going to be in Jerusalem. She started to run, but Mama called her back. Not too fast, she said. It's still a ways off. Miriam thought they'd never get there, but finally, there they were. And just like they had planned, there was her Uncle Jacob and Aunt Martha and her cousins. There were other relatives gathered in the same campgrounds, many Miriam had never even seen before. But Mama and Papa seemed to know everyone. All seemed very strange to Miriam and her little brother. She was presented to elderly aunts who hugged her and told Mama what a pretty child she was. And finally, all the greetings had been made, and the men and boys began setting up the tents while the women and girls began the preparations for the evening Shabbat meal. It was to be a great feast. Not as great as Passover, but still more exciting than their Shabbat meals back home. Toward the end of the meal, when all of the proper rituals had been observed, Miriam sat with her cousins as they listened to the grown-ups talking. "Do you think they'll come?" one of the aunts asked. "Do they dare?" Uncle Avram answered, "Absolutely not. They've been warned that if they do, there's sure to be trouble. The Romans," Uncle paused and spat contemptuously in the dirt at the name, "will be everywhere, just waiting for an excuse to mistreat us all. That carpenter who thinks he's a rabbi is aggravating, but he's not stupid." The others nodded their heads. carpenter. Miriam realized they were talking about Jesus. Oh, she hoped nothing bad would happen to him. She remembered going to his workshop with Mama to purchase chests to store linen. It was Mama's favorite thing. The wood gleamed and it fit together perfectly. It would be hers one day, Mama had promised. All of the children of the village loved going to Jesus' workshop. He always had a kind word for them, and his mother would bring out treats. Sometimes, he would even let them select a small toy to take home with them. He never treated them like the other adults did. He would patiently answer their questions and smile at them. And sometimes, if he wasn't too busy, he would sit down and tell them the most marvelous stories. Even though he was a grown-up, all the children knew he was their friend. But adults liked his stories too. And it was always easy to get Papa to stop by for a visit with Jesus. Sometimes Papa and Jesus laughed together, but sometimes Papa would start to argue with Jesus and then just shake his head and go away. And then about 3 years ago, she guessed, Jesus had left his workshop and had begun going around the countryside teaching. Miriam had even heard the grown-ups talking about rumors that Jesus had healed some people. Papa was skeptical. He was a Pharisee, and some of the things he had heard Jesus was saying and doing worried him. She knew Papa liked Jesus, but was afraid he was going too far. It had gotten worse lately. Sometimes Papa came home from synagogue angry, and Miriam could hear him and Mama talking about it late into the night. And then, on the way to Jerusalem, they heard people saying that Jesus had brought back to life a man who had been dead for 3 days. Miriam heard Mama telling Papa that some of their own relatives were beginning to wonder if perhaps Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. Papa just shook his head. Finally, Shabbat was over. Miriam went to sleep knowing that she would get to see more of Jerusalem the next day. But when she awoke the next morning, the camp was in an uproar. Someone important was coming into the city, and everyone was running to line up alongside the road. Miriam and her cousins looked for a place where they could see over the grown-ups. And they squirmed through until they were next to the great road. What a sight it was. People were throwing their cloaks on the road, and others were pulling branches off of trees and laying them down to cover the dusty road. Whoever it was must be very important. A man came riding down the road, surrounded by people shouting, "Save us! Hosanna to the highest! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna!" The man came closer. It was her friend Jesus. Miriam was so excited. "Jesus!" she called out and waved. He stopped for a moment, and then he saw her and smiled. "Hello, Miriam," he said. "Hosanna!" Miriam cried. "Save us!" And just then, Papa came running up with a strange look on his face. "Tell them to be quiet," he said to Jesus. "This will only cause trouble." Jesus looked at Papa and said, "If they're quiet, the rocks will cry out." And fixing his eyes on the city ahead, Jesus continued riding toward it. Papa was very upset. There's trouble coming, he told Mama. I want you to keep a close eye on the children. Mama nodded, and Papa went off to talk with the other men. The next day, the whole family went up to the temple. They passed through the court of the Gentiles, teeming with all sorts of strangely dressed people, saying things she didn't understand, and noisy from the vendors selling animals and food. Miriam heard Papa telling Mama that it had been worse, but Jesus had chased a bunch of the worst of them out of the day before. Miriam could tell Papa was still worried, and yet glad about what Jesus had done. They reached the court of the women, and then Papa and the other men went into the court of the Israelites to offer the sacrifices the family had brought. As Miriam and the other children wandered around the court of the women, looking at all the strange and wonderful sights, she heard a familiar voice. It was Jesus. Children were running up to him, calling, "Hosanna, save us!" Miriam headed toward him just as some of the temple priests came rushing over. They looked very angry. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they demanded of Jesus. Jesus just smiled as he reached down to pat the heads of the children nearest him. Then he looked back at the man and said, "Yes. Have you never read the psalm that says, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise'?" Miriam remembered learning that psalm as a very little girl. It was one of her favorites. She started to smile, but then saw the look on the priest's face. She grabbed Jesse and turned to find Mama. Back at the camp, Miriam worried about Jesus. She heard the grown-ups talking in worried tones. He was hard to forget, even as she helped Mama and the others prepare for the Seder meal. She kept helping Jesse practice his questions, and finally it was time for the meal. Her relatives gathered, the candles were lit, and Jesse stood up and asked in a clear voice, "Why is this night different from all other nights?" And with that, the meal was begun. Miriam thought about their week in Jerusalem. Why is this night different? She wondered. The next day, the news was all over Jerusalem. A man named Judas, one of Jesus' closest friends, had turned Jesus over to the council. And the council, afraid there might be a riot if Jesus didn't go away, had persuaded the Romans to crucify him. And even then, Jesus was on his way to a place outside the city where he would be put to death. Papa, his jaw set, rushed off to see if it were true. And when Miriam looked at Mama, she could see tears in Mama's eyes. For the first time, Miriam began to wish they had never left Capernaum. "Why, Mama? Why?" she asked as her own eyes began to fill. "Why would anyone do that to Jesus? He never hurt anyone." Her mother kept packing clothes. "I don't know," she said quietly. "Perhaps one day we will." Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we've gathered this morning to worship you, to sing your praises, to celebrate your love. Your love that is for all creation, from the least to the greatest, for all people, from the smallest to the oldest. And we give you thanks and praise for that love, that grace, that mercy. And 2,000 years later, we still struggle with the question, why did Jesus have to die? Even as we try to avoid the answer, because it was for us, and not just something that happened a long time ago. Grant us vision to see the kingdom through the eyes of a child, to humble ourselves, and to come as little children. Guide us as we go through this Holy Week. And as we take this time to consider your great sacrifice for us, let us not forget those who struggle, those who are ill, those who are living with grief and pain and loss. Help us to remember also those who serve us in government, in the military, as firefighters and police, as healers, as teachers, and in so many ways that we don't even recognize. Guide us as we go through this time. Watch over us and keep us. Help us to be your children in this time and place as we make our petitions known to you in the name of your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before he went into Jerusalem, Jesus told his disciples, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's our great joy this morning to baptize on behalf of this church and on behalf of the family Andrew James Field. Andrew's family will join me. Hear these words from Holy Scripture. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us. God seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. Let us each remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament again this morning. Yes, we're going to play in that. Amy and Craig, do you desire that Andrew be baptized?
Indeed.
Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? Do you?
Yes.
And we're including the family this morning, and Pat and Jim, we're so grateful to have with us, and this morning we are grateful to have Craig's family as well. So you, as Andrew's family, do you promise through prayer and example to support and encourage Andrew to be a faithful Christian? Do you? Congregation, will you please stand? Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Andrew by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of this church? Do you?
We do.
You may be seated. It is through baptism that we enter the covenant God has established with us. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, guards us from evil, and nurtures us in love. In embracing that covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus Christ. And as Andrew's family, I'm now going to ask that each one of you claim again your own profession of faith by answering the following questions. Do each of you trust in the gracious mercy of God so that you may turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you? Together with the whole church now, let us stand again and confess our faith. You'll find the confession responses in your bulletin. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. At the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. At the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the waters of baptism. In them we are buried with Christ in his death. From them we are raised to share in the resurrection. Through them we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to move over this water that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Renew them to new life and graft them to the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them that they may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. All right, Scooter, let's see here. Come here, sweetness. Oh, we're going to play in the water. It's going to be so much fun. Andrew James, child of the covenant, I baptize you. Look here. In the name of the Father. And in the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Let us pray. Ever-living God, in your mercy, you promised not only to be our God, but also the God of our children. We thank you for receiving Andrew James by baptism. Keep him always in your love. Guide him as he grows in faith. Protect him in all the dangers and temptations of life. Bring him to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and be his disciple to his life's end. We pray for his parents, Amy and Craig, for his family, for his godparents. Give them wisdom and patience to guide this child in the way of Jesus Christ and the faith of the church. Let your peace and joy dwell in their home, that their family life may be instructed by faith, sustained by prayer, and governed by love. We pray for the families of this congregation and for all Christian families everywhere. Give them strength to honor you in their homes and to love and serve each other. Help all who have been baptized in your name to live in peace and unity as sisters and brothers in the household of faith and to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
you.
Happy are those who love the Lord. It is well with those who share generously and conduct their lives with justice and mercy. Let us share this joy as we give of ourselves as we collect this morning's offering. Above all names, as you emptied yourself for others, we offer ourselves in these gifts as a sign of our hope in your reign. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is sorrow, bring joy. Where there is injustice, bring courage for change. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.